Please do turn to me this morning, turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 1. We're continuing our series of studies in those foundational truths in these very early chapters of Genesis. We note that the seed of every major truth is contained in these first three chapters, and it germinates and it grows ever greater through the whole Word of God. Every important truth is here. If it's not here, then perhaps it's a secondary issue. All the things that we will consider are very much foundational in these weeks of studies. Our subject today is made in God's image. Every single one of us here, you have been made to be like, not the same, but like God. So, made in God's image. Here's our text, verse 26. Let us make man. Notice it says us. This is God who is singular and plural at the very same time. One God, three persons. Notice it says, let us make man in our image. This is the sixth day of creation. Everything up until now has been planned and has been prepared. There's been a deliberate order, a sequence. Things have not been done out of order. A special order, a special design, a special plan. And so God announces and he says, let us make man. Up until now, the conditions for humanity were not right. There were things missing. Life could not have been supported. Until it comes to the sixth day of creation, your life and my life would not be the same. Until the sixth day arrives, we can prove that shortly. Let's just think of you and me. Maybe we feel it more this morning. Human beings are so fragile. We live on a knife edge. We're either too hot or we're too cold. We need an atmosphere that has just the right proportion of nitrogen and oxygen. 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen. We can't live unless the balance is there in the atmosphere, and we've already found that God has made that atmosphere to support human life. Let's think of a second thing. Our climate. Not too hot, not too cold, not too humid. God has made an atmosphere with a climate that is most of the time, in the majority of the places in the world where there is human life, suitable for life. That's the second thing. Neither of those are possible until the sixth day. There is an incredibly stable, within 1 or 2 degrees, average temperature across the surface of the globe. Well, that's remarkable. There is extraordinary beauty, rich variety in the plant life, in the animal life. This is just for us. Fifthly, there is a day and a night. Just imagine if it was always day, we couldn't sleep. It would be too hot. The average temperature would shoot up 10 degrees. There wouldn't be peace for most of us at night time. Just think of the food. nutritious food for us, for the animals, the insects, the birds. That's not been made and finished until the sixth day. Think of all the minerals and the resources that we need to build, to make for healthcare. Oh, extraordinary. These are all the things that God has made which are necessary and suitable and sufficient for life. Well, let me try to illustrate it. Think of the moon, children. By the time you reach my age, they tell us that there will be people living on the moon. That will be their place, their address. I don't know what I think of that. It's not the subject for today. But when you think of the moon, let me tell you one fact. Lots of facts this morning to stimulate you. The average temperature of the moon at night at the equator is minus 183 degrees centigrade. The average temperature during the day is 106 degrees positive. How can that support life? That's just the temperature. There's a lack of food, there's a lack of water, there's no plant life, there's no animal life. God didn't make the moon to support human life. He made the earth uniquely in the whole universe, as far as we know and as far as the Bible tells us, to support human life. The term for man here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, let us make man, it's one of those terms that applies to men and women. Let us make men and women, humanity, in our image. It's not just man that's been made in the likeness of God, it's men and women. And that's the way that Moses explains it here. God said, it's as though there's been a council meeting. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they've met together. I don't think that's what actually happened, because the making of man was planned before the foundation of the earth. And in the Bible, we find many instances of one member of the Godhead speaking to another. Psalm 2, verse 7. Thou art my Son, the Father speaking to the Son. We see here an announcement. This was not the decision. This is God announcing the decision that he's already made before the foundation of the earth. I want to turn you to one verse this morning. Revelation chapter 13, and it's verse 18. Rather, it's verse 8. Revelation 13 and verse 8. The final book of the Bible, verse 8 of chapter 13. This is speaking of the future and of the past. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb, slain from before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? You see, before time, God had decided that humanity would be made. He had also determined that Christ would enter the world in the same form and shape and facilities and function as man that he's about to make. And he's also determined that Christ would be slain. Do you see? This is just the announcement in Genesis 1, verse 26. Let us now make God in our image. It's already been decided before time. It's already been decided that there would be a Savior come from heaven and he would die on the cross. It's all mapped out. God, who's outside of time, he has ordained, he's planned. The order of creation takes into account our needs, and it takes into account that Christ would come and would be slain, and that this arrival of man on the sixth day speaks of Christ appearing later in time. Well, let's turn then to this here, Genesis 1, 26. I want to ask a question. It's the same question asked in Psalm 144. We read it. What is man? What is humanity? Who are we? What's a man? What's a woman? What's a boy and a girl? That's a deep question. It's a very important question. What are we? I don't mean chemically. I don't mean biologically. You know that we're water, calcium, potassium. But what are we? Well, let's turn to God's word, because these verses here, they're going to tell us for the whole of time what we are. The uniqueness of humanity. This is known as the Imago Dei. It's Latin. The image of God. And it's here. Three times in two verses, for repetition and for memory, God says much the same thing. Let's look at it. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That's the first time. Then he says it in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. That's the second time. And in case you've missed it, in the image of God created he him. Man, you and me. Every child that's been made in the mother's womb is made in the image, the shape, the form, a representation of God. I choose this carefully. We are God-like. We're not now. Before the fall, the first Adam is like Christ. We are now fallen creatures. The image that we bear has been tarnished. Imagine a coin, a sovereign. It's just been made. It's shining, gleaming brightly, copper, silver. You can see your reflection in the image of that coin. Shining brightly, glinting in the sun. We won't consider it today. But look at the coin now. Tarnished. Very limited reflection. Yes, the image of God is there, stamped. But the picture isn't what it was, what it should be. It's not really reflecting the image of God, but when we were made. Look at it. Let's put the word coin into verse 26. Let us make a coin reflecting the image of God in his likeness. And here am I, just like God. I look a little bit like him. We'll come back to that. I've got some of his characteristics. Not in all the full power, but the embryonic form of each is within. In our image, in our likeness. Let's just think of what man is like. We are sophisticated, complex beings. Just think of our mind, let alone our emotions, much more complicated than any other creature. Let's think of the capacity that we have to rule and to lead. No other animal does that. Maybe over their own species, but not over parts of the world. We have an eternal dimension. No other animal has that. But we're godlike. When we die, that's not the end. Our soul lives on. We are eternal beings. We're moral. We know right and wrong, or we should do. If we're made in God's image, which we are, imprinted upon our soul is a knowledge of right and wrong, just like God. We have a desire for beauty. We're drawn and attracted to beautiful things. We have an appreciation of what is beautiful and what's not. That's unique to humanity. We have an ability to think and to reason. Do you know the human mind has the space for 100,000 billion pieces of data? Get your head around that. That's how vast the memory and the capacity is of the human mind. We are godlike. We have feelings. In emotions, there's people here this morning and you have deep feelings for certain things. Some people, and it's no slight, you are emotional. It doesn't take much to tip you one way or the other. That's nothing to speak down at you at all. That's how God has made you. And I must respect your feelings and you must respect mine. We're made in the image of God to feel deeply, to feel things and to want change, and to stand up for truth. That's the way we've been made. That's how God feels. All these terms are spoken of us and of God. We have a capacity to love and to worship. God doesn't worship, of course, but we're made to worship him. And we're different from the animals because we have a soul and a spirit. We're not just physical. And then we have all these astonishing capabilities. That's the answer I can give to the question, what is man? Astonishing, unique. Let's ask a second question. How are we distinctive? How are we really different from the animals? You might question and say, well, animals can do many things. Well, we can see. But can we see in the way the animals can? I don't mean physically. Can we see situations? Can we see problems ahead? We can hear. We can smell. We can touch. Oh yes, these aren't unique. But we have the ability to do it physically and in time and in space. And we can speak. We can speak a language which has up to 100,000 words. And most of us will use 20,000 a day, different words. And we can make, the animals can't make, and design. They can repeat things. They have a limited form of communication. They can make a few things. We can make things of vast complexity, and we can improve them and design them. Oh, the distinctiveness of man, made in God's image, made by God, for God, and made to be a little bit like God. Remarkable. Now, some people teach that after the fall in Genesis 3, this made in God image aspect of our character was lost. And that's not what the Word of God teaches. It's been tarnished, but not lost. Turn to Genesis 5 and verses 1 through 3. This is significant. It's after the fall, after the coin was tarnished. Let's read these verses. Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In that day, God created man. In the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them. And so on. Immediately after the fall, there's a repetition of the Imago Dei, the image of God. If you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 9, this is after the flood. Genesis chapter 9, and God blessed Noah and his sons. There's a repetition of this, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be for meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you, and so on. A repetition of what has God said after the fall, after the flood, three times in Genesis 1, two further times. That's five in the first nine chapters of the Bible. This is a foundational truth. Who am I? What am I here for? How am I so much above the animal kingdom? How should I live? What are the principles of my life? They are all built upon the fact that we are made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. This is how he made us. This is foundational. Now, yes, some of the likeness of God and the image of God has been damaged, and it will never be the same in this life. But in Christ, it can be restored. That's conversion. What is conversion? It's my life being restored. The coin being made more like as it was once. And one day when Christ comes the second time, I will be perfectly restored in Christ. Well, that's what the Word of God teaches. Let's go back. Think of a few more features of humanity. Just three. We're an animal. Yes. But we're upright. We're not like the apes looking down to the ground most of the time. God made us to be upright, looking up to heaven. Most of the animals look down. Looking up to heaven for help in prayer according to his word. Just think of our faces. Our faces look up, they should do, not down. Do you know the human face has the capability to communicate 20 to 30 different emotions? Deaf people know this. When you sign, you don't just use symbols, you use the face. There are 43 muscles in our face, and when they are moved, 20 to 30 emotions. Angry, guilty, sad, upset, concerned, perplexed, worried, anxious. When you look at a human being, algorithms now can work out what you are feeling because of the distortion of your muscles on your face. How extraordinary that God has made us that we can communicate across language, across race, across barriers, because this is how God has made us, in the likeness and in the image of God, and we are to live as God wanted us to be. We are to have His attributes. We're to take on His emotions. Do you know all the things that I've mentioned? Seeing, hearing. God does that. He sees, He hears, He smells the fragrance of our life. He touches, He speaks to us. Oh, He speaks so much. He makes, He designs. He is upright. He has emotions towards us, or at least the Bible communicates using human emotions. And you know, the capability of our brain is so, so vast. We are truly unique and distinctive. Do you know the great problem that we have is we forget. I've been made in the image of God. That's how God wants me to live. And every time I sin, in thought, in word, in deed, I forget. I'm an image bearer. I'm supposed to live like God, His behavior, His values, His attributes. We'll come to that in future weeks. Let's think just before we close. What is our purpose? Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and we see what Moses tells us here. We've been made in the image of God, in His likeness. Three times God repeats this, male and female. Verse 28, the first blessing. God blessed them and said, here's our purpose. Number one, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Now the word replenish is not the word we use it today. A better word would be fill, occupy, take up residence, populate, replenish the earth. Makes it seem like we're replacing. Of course, there's been no death when this verse is given. So the commandment is to go, fill, and to occupy. That's the first thing. Secondly, subdue. Now the inference of that word in the way we use it today is there's been a rebellion. No, there hasn't, not yet. There is an angry world that needs to be subdued. That's not what the word means here. It means we are to rule it. We're to explore it. We're to understand it, to study it. Now, there's a third thing it says here. We're to go out. We're to fill. We're to control. And then we're to rule over every living thing. We will be in charge. We're to govern. We're to take up residency. We're to own property. We're to go into the world. And God has provided everything that we need. He reminds us. He goes back. He says, I've given you food to eat, vegetables, seeds. Not yet human meat, because there's no death. Trees, plants, seeds, everything needed to eat. This is the purpose of the human race. We're to go out. We're to have families if God blesses us in that way. He may not. He perhaps has more useful work that only you can do if you're not to have children. But He tells us to go out and to control, to study, to explore, to learn. Science, technology is being commissioned in these verses. Notice, Men and women are equally blessed. God blessed them. There's no superior blessing for men. That's terrible reasoning. God sends them out. Then look what he says in verse 31. And God saw that everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Now there's an important lesson here. Up until now, it's just good. It's perfect, but it's not complete. Until humanity is made, until there's a man and a woman, we're not complete. We need each other. Single women, we need you. Single men, we need you. Older people, we need you. Children, we need you. God blesses them. The richness, the variety, every age, every role, every race, every culture, every experience is a blessing one to another. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It's only very good when it's complete. Do you know, in the church, we have such variety. This church is blessed with incredible variety. That's good. We want to be even more varied because God blesses variety. We want to be all looking to God and taking our rule and our function from him. But God says it was very good. And part of the reason is because it's now complete, and because it's varied, and because he's commissioned it. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Notice God has given all these things. He's given us everything richly to enjoy. And our task is to follow. We're to bring glory to God. He has given us, we thank him. He has given us, we use what he's given us for his glory. And we're to enjoy him and to be in constant contact with him forever. My friends, this morning, if you've lived your life up until now for yourself, that's not what God intended. If you've lived life for your enjoyment, firstly, that's not what God intended. If you've not been following what he's commanded here in Genesis 1, that is not what he intended. My life and your life is to be a mirror. We're to be image bearers, reflecting the perfect fulfillment of man being created, which is seen in Jesus Christ. For a few hours it was seen in Adam, but the coin became tarnished. And we don't see God again fully, completely, until we see Jesus Christ. We are to reflect him. We are to be an image bearer of his life, of his priorities, and of his purpose. May the Lord help us to be image bearers this morning for his grace and for his glory.